Let's ask the Lord to bless our meeting. How about that? Amen. Father, we come to you in the name of Jesus, Lord. And first of all, thank you. Thank you for letting us meet in your name. Thank you for joining us, because you said that where two or three are gathered together, you'd be in the midst of it. And Lord, we know you're here because we brought you here. We invite you here. Not only do we invite you here, we invite you to take charge, take control. Lord, as we study your word together, Lord, I pray that something will be said here tonight. We encourage your people. And God, not only here, but the ones listening to the CD later on. God, I just praise you and thank you. Give you praise and glory for all that's accomplished. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Amen. We're going to talk about false teachers tonight. Beware of false teachers. I've said this many times, but truck drivers are exposed to every ism and schism in the world. And the higher tech we get, the more so that is. Now, don't get me wrong. High tech is good. It's good. All of the things that I believe God gave men the smart to make all this stuff, but it was made for his glory. It's not always used that way, but I believe there's good in it. It could be used. So I'm not against technology. In fact, we're thankful for it. We're going through some changes at the office and going to a T1 line over there. So trying to get a little faster. But you know, at the same time, Satan's not stupid. He's going to use that technology also. CB radio. Remember when you didn't hear cussing on it at all? I know Carrie's old enough to remember that. We've been driving that long to where if that happened, they would immediately be told to hush. And things you see around the truck stop you didn't see back then. And I don't want to be negative about it. It's all signs of the time. And I believe it was you and I was out there talking a little earlier, and it's all there. It's all in the Bible. But one of the things that he said would happen would be false teachers coming around. In other words, people that, for the sake of a better word, it'd be wolves in sheep's clothing. And the denomination is not necessarily safe anymore. In other words, say a Methodist or a Baptist or Assembly of God, Church of God, it's been around forever. But just because it's a Church of God church or a Baptist church doesn't necessarily mean it's all safe. Because remember, it's just like truck stop ministry, it's operated by human beings. And human beings are capable of error, right? So, you know, the only safe zone or the only safe place to be is in the Bible. Not according to man's doctrine or according to theology. To prevent being deceived, a person, you and I, has to know what the Bible says so we'll know if it's true or not. It behooves us to know what the Word of God says. Okay? And since the Lord gave it to us, you know, we need to study it so we'll know when somebody's telling us wrong. I know you've all experienced a truck driver story once in a while that wasn't quite right. Usually starts out, you ain't going to believe this, and I probably won't. Again, if you've been around a while, But because of your knowledge of trucking, you know pretty shortly that person is not telling the truth, right? Well, if we know the Bible, when a person starts going off course, we're going to know it. Say, wait a minute. And if you're not absolutely sure, if you're not absolutely positively sure what I'm saying is coming out of the Bible, ask me. Ask me, where did you get that? That will never bother me. Because if I can't show you in the Bible where it's coming from, then I don't need to be saying it. I don't need to be saying it. Heard my pastor actually preach on this. Well, I think it was last Sunday, as a matter of fact. He talked about four signs of a false teacher. And I want to share some of that with you tonight, kind of go over some things. And first of all, let me ask you a question. Do you know, and don't answer, just think about it. Do you know the Bible well enough that if I told you something false, would you catch it? Now, I know some people are kind of slicker than others, so to speak. Some people have what we call charisma, and people just naturally follow them. I understand that. And I understand that everybody who follows them are not stupid, by no means. They're not ignorant, by no means. But Satan is very, very clever. Amen? The enemy comes to do what? Steal, kill, and destroy. He's never going to change. That's his pattern. He's also called the deceiver of the brethren. He's called the accuser of the brethren. He's called a deceiver. Jesus called him a liar. John 8:44. I like that. He called it like it is. Howard Cosell used to say, I just call it like I see it. Right? Tell it like it is. What happened to that? We've talked about this before, but I want to drive this point home. It is time that Christians made a stand. Right, brother? No matter what. Even if your job's on the line. You see, you can't deviate from that. If somebody asks you to do something wrong, then you're in the wrong company. You're at the wrong place. Sometimes you just have to make a stand. I remember a driver who called me, and he was a born-again Christian, and he was telling me that he went to work for this company, and they haul a lot of beer and alcoholic beverages. Of course, as a company driver, you have absolutely no choice. We know that. But when he went there, he told them he didn't haul that. He said, I don't want the job if I'm going to have to haul it. And they said, no, you won't do that. Quote, we will never ask you to do that. End quote. So he took the job on that agreement, okay? Then he calls me almost in tears and said, they've told me if I don't take this load, I'm fired. And he said, what should I do? I said, ask them where do they want the truck parked. Period. One is, you've already made your statement when you went in there. See? If you hadn't said nothing, it would be different. But now, if you don't stand, you know, you'll be just like a lot of others when it really gets down to the nitty-gritty, they don't stand. By the way, they didn't let him go, and he didn't take the load. He called me a few days later, and he called him back and did exactly what I suggested. He said, they knew where he was at. He said, where is the closest terminal? Where do you want me to park the truck? I'm going home. I told you I wasn't going to haul it. Now, don't get me wrong. Now, guys, let me tell you something. Those listening on the CD, don't go around and refuse to haul beer because the company hauls beer. We're talking about a very unusual situation where that was the agreement before he took the job. Let's make that clear. You know, that was in the agreement. Just like when I owned my own truck, of course, we could choose what we hauled. That's one of the few perks, I guess, there was. And, of course, I didn't. Never forget, many times unloading in Florida in the summertime. Called my broker down there, and this one time she said, I got you covered. I got a load right back to Rome, Georgia. I said, hey, that sounds great. In the summertime? That's good. She said, a load of beer. And I said, never mind. She said, you don't want it? I said, no, ma'am. You know what it pays? I said, I'm not interested. It does. I don't want to sound holy now. I'm not interested in what it pays. She said, you're going to go out empty. I said, that's correct. If I don't find something better than that, I will. Why? I said, ma'am, it's principle. I don't tell nobody else what to do, but me. Jesus is Lord on all four mud flap, trucking for Jesus on the doors, big white dove on the hood. Don't think it'd fit at the brewery. somehow that just don't fit. Okay? Now, by the same token, let me say this. I did, when I sold out and began to drive a company truck, I went to work for a company and I didn't ask, but their primary haul was Jack Daniel's bottles. Every night. Every night, at least 12, 14 loads out of Atlanta to Tennessee. Well, I took the job, right? So I did it. But it got to where they didn't want to send me up there because good chance to witness. They told us, you know, we could drop our trailer, or rather, we were waiting on an empty trailer. You'd have to sit there, drop your trailer, you know, wait on one to get empty. And they said, you know, they had a break room and the drivers were welcome to go in there. And so I just go in there. Bible in hand. I didn't say nothing. I just walk in there, sit down, and read my Bible. It was amazing. You thought I had leprosy. And now, honestly, I figured, well, if I got to be here, I'm going to read my Bible anyway. Normally, I do it in a truck. But they invited me to their break room. I said, okay, you know. That sounds good. 1 Timothy chapter 1. We'll read there a little bit. Turn there in your Bible. 1 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 1 says this, Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the commandment of God our Savior and the Lord Jesus Christ our hope, to Timothy. Here's Paul writing to Timothy. A true son in the faith, he says. Now remember, you might have heard me say that Timothy was Paul's protege. He took him under his wing and he taught him. And here is one of the places he called him a son in the faith. Jan and I have several, we call them Christian children. Some of them are way older than we are, you know, so that's always interesting. One is a real good friend, and he always introduced himself as our son. And he's 70 rolling, a grave digger. He'd say, I'm their illegitimate son. But he was a Christian son, amen, and part of our life. It goes on to say, grace, mercy, and peace from God our Father and Jesus Christ our Lord. As I urged you when I went into Macedonia, remain in Ephesus that you may charge some that they teach no other doctrine. He's telling Timothy, you need to stay in Ephesus now and check up on these people that's teaching false stuff. There's a lot of it going on. Again, we could talk all night, we could call names, but we're not going to do that. That's not what I'm here for. I'm not into witch hunting. Okay? There's some I won't listen to at all. Verse 4, nor give heed to fables and endless genealogies, which cause disputes rather than godly edification, which is in faith. Now the purpose of the commandment is love from a pure heart, from a good conscience, and from a sincere faith, from which some, having strayed, have turned aside to idle talk. Oh, man. Do we see that today? I mean, again, every ism and schism, something I can't even believe they come up with. But now, again, they sit and talk their talk. What do? Most of the time, Christians just sit there and don't say nothing. And it's my conviction that if I don't say something, you assume I agree with you. And that ain't going to happen. Many times I've been told to turn my radio off. I said, I can't. I have a physical handicap. I can't reach up there and turn the thing off. No. And so, you know, and around truck stops, you know, there's a great ministry around here. You guys have a far greater ministry than ever happened in a chapel or ever happened in church. You're right there one-on-one, loading, unloading. Sit around truck stop. Tremendous time. And some, it says, have strayed away from the truth and have turned to the idle talk, desiring to be teachers of the law, understanding neither what they say nor the things which they affirm. Just talking. again, you hear drivers talking about driving, you know, and you can tell real quick, they don't have a clue what they're talking about. You know, right? And you kind of chuckle probably sometimes. You know, we junior here. But do we help them? Hello? Do we correct it? Do we try to help? It's our choice. Oh, I know we don't have time. All right, let's look at four things here that we might find in a false teacher, or we will find. One is, when you're talking with these people or listening to some of these people, do they use the Bible? In other words, do they read from the Bible? Most of the time, not. They will quote, they'll tell you the Bible says, but they never tell you where. Right? Or they might even say the good book says. That's, I say, you're talking about Gone with the Wind, or what kind of good book? I mean, you know, I know a lot of good books. There's only one real book, and that's the Bible. One day we was over at what is now Petro Atlanta. It used to be Atlanta West. You remember that? And we had a little room in the front of the restaurant. It was real nice. We was good setup. LaCroix's Cafeterias was there then. And Carrie LaCroix's a real good friend of mine. And we were doing Bible study, and this guy walked in. We were just getting started. This guy walked in, put his hands in the air, said, "I am God." I said, "Sit down, God. It ain't your turn to talk." And he sat down, sit there through the whole thing. And afterwards, I said, "Now let's talk about this." And of course, everything he said was he couldn't say where it was. The Bible said, and I said, "No, it don't. Where?" And I put two over in front of him, two different versions. As a matter of fact, I said, "Where is it?" "Well, you know," I said, "obviously I don't. I've never seen that. Show me. I'm from Missouri. Show me." Right? I'm kind of hard-headed. You know, somebody's telling you something that's going to affect your eternity. Folks, this ain't no short-term deal. This ain't something that you could choose a bad truck and maybe pay it out in 5 years and get rid of it. We're talking about all eternity. And we can't even measure that. So be cautious. Are you listening to the Word of God? More than likely, not. Then we ask, what is their goal? What's their purpose? What is their goal? Is it just to be heard by people? Usually that's the truth. Usually that's the case. You know, they want an audience. Timothy, again, in several places, talks about gathering people around to hear what. In other words, we don't want the word no more. We want somebody to just say what we want to hear. No good. No good. If I'm not corrected through the Word of God, then it's not doing good. We all stand to be corrected by the Word of God. Amen? I heard a pastor say one time it wasn't his job to do that. I kind of shook my head in private. I said, "Well, sir, what is your job? If it's not to correct us, what is your job? Pat us on the back while we go to hell? I don't think so. And if I love you, I'll tell you the truth. In love, not condemnation or criticism, but in love, we can share the word with these people that's going the wrong way. And I will definitely try." I offered a flyer this evening to a driver, and he said, "I'm a pagan." I said, "That's all right. You're welcome. You're welcome. I wouldn't have any problem with him coming in. We've had atheists come in. We've had all kinds of people come in. Some of them went out born again, too." Amen? Amen. Or we planted seeds. Or afterwards, you guys was sharing with them, and seeds got planted. We got testimonies of that.
Amen.
You know? But what is the goal? Is my goal just to be heard by people, just to gather a following? I pray not. My goal is to see as many truckers born again as I can. I have this vendetta against the devil. I hate his guts, just to put it bluntly. I hate what he did in my life, what I let him do in my life for too many years. And we don't get into talking about that necessarily, but it's just something that my mom used to say, it stuck in my craw. I haven't forgiven him for what he's done. In my opinion, the best thing I can do to hurt him is take people away from him. And he don't take that sitting down now. But that's all right. War. It's war. So what is our goal? What is their goal? Again, verse 5 we just read. Now the purpose of the commandment is from love. It says, from which some have strayed, turned to idle talk, desiring to be teachers of law, neither understanding what they say nor the things which they affirm. So what is their goal? They just want to be heard. Then number 3, what is their motive? What's your motive? What's your motive? Should be to glorify God. Our whole reason for living should be to glorify God, to give Him the glory, give Him the praise. Amen. Everybody can stand a little pat on the back once in a while. Nothing wrong with that. As long as you take that pat and pass it on. Not about me, it's not about you, it's about Him. You know, it's all about Him. Some, instead of wanting to glorify God, want to build themselves up. Again, they're feeding their ego. They got an ego. I've been there, done that. I know. Man, I don't even want to tell you how bad I was. I bought fuel before when I didn't need it. Because way back then, the fuel islands was right in front of the builder. Remember the old design of 76? Right? Pull up there and buy fuel because I thought somebody would see me getting out of the truck. Had it bad. Bad. Jan, my wonderful wife of 43 years, that I don't know how we made it, but she used to say, you don't love nobody but yourself. And I say, you're right. I'm the only one I can trust. We had a wonderful marriage. Now, we had an association, didn't we? Till Jesus came in.
Amen.
Jesus came in. He changed all that. Yes. All right. Turn to Matthew 23. Let's read a couple of verses there. Matthew 23 and verse 5. We'll just read verse 5. But all their works they do to be seen by men. See? They want everything broad. We want to enlarge their borders, the borders of their garments, this says. Their whole motive is nothing but to be noticed by men. People. People. Want a pat on the back. You know, we've had some workers come along that, you know, I try to talk it down when I'm recruiting. I really do. Because we've met people in the past that looked like what we'd say in the South, on fire for the Lord. You ever hear that comment? And the person would appear that way. But pretty soon, I noticed if you don't pat them on the back enough, they're going to pout. Going to pout. And I don't have time for that. I tell them in a minute, we're working here together. If you need a pacifier, this ain't the place for you. Because more than likely, you ain't going to get one. Now, don't get me wrong. A pat on the back never hurts nothing. I try to encourage our people. But if that's your motivation, if you're only doing it so I'll call you and say, attaboy, something's wrong, isn't it? Your motivation should be nothing other than to praise God and to bring glory to Him. What is the effect of the work of the false teacher? What's the fruit? Turn to John 15. Now, we'll read a few verses here. I told you wrong. I thought I was going to do it in Matthew. John 15. Let's read the first 8 verses of Matthew. John 15. What is the effect? What happens? Dr. Brian Lee ordained me in 1980, and he was one of the best teachers I've ever sat under. I've had the honor and blessing of sitting under more than one or two that was excellent Bible teachers. I can think of in my mind how God put me in these certain places at a certain time, different denominations. Hello? See, that's never mattered to me. I don't care what's on the sign outside. What's going on inside is what I want to know about. In fact, where we go now, David and Donna are members. We're the same church. And when I first went there, I started to go back outside to see if that was Baptist on that sign after all. Man. Hey, people hold their hand up in there while they're singing. That's scary. Both hands sometimes. My son-in-law's dad was a retired minister of music at a Baptist church. I can pick on him because I are one for the time being. And he said one good thing about when a Baptist raises their hand, you know what's going on. I said, what is it? He said, they need to go to the bathroom. John chapter 15. Notice this. Talking about fruit. Jesus speaking, I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine dresser. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, what does he do? Takes it away. And every branch that bears fruit, he does what? Prune. Nobody likes the pruning. I don't. I really don't. I mean, my flesh said, you know. In fact, I've shared this before. I got almost a habit of saying early in the morning when I'm praying, your kingdom come, your will be done in my life today. Sounded good when everything was going good. But when the pruning starts, you know, things go not the way you want them to go. And you say, God, what's going on? He said, you said, my will be done. You know, I think, did I say that? Surely not. We have to give him that right. Because he prunes it that it may bear more fruit. You're already clean because of the word I've spoken to you. Watch this in verse 4. Abide in me, and I in you, as the branch cannot bear fruit of itself unless it abides in the vine. Neither can you unless you abide in me. Notice the deal here. He is the vine. We're the branch. When you prune something, you cut the branches off, right? Does the vine die or does the branch die? The branch dies, right? The vine gets even better. In fact, it's getting time to do some pruning around the house. In fact, I've already missed part of it. But it's time of the year to do it before the sap comes out in the tree, right? Then we can cut the branches off we don't want, and the vine or the tree will get stronger and better and produce more fruit. And he says, that's the way it is spiritually too. Verse 5, I am the vine, you are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him bears much fruit. For without me you could do nothing. Now, again, I believe if we really get into the word and live that word, people around us are going to take notice of that. If nothing else, just bow your head and say grace over your meal in the restaurant. That's bless somebody. It really will. And that's a way of producing fruit. See, we're the branches, the vine, we're hooked to the vine, right? As long as we're hooked to the vine, that sap, that nourishment flows into the branch. The branch is the one that's got the fruit on it, right? If the Holy Spirit flowing through me, then there should be fruit out here to show for it. The false teacher doesn't have that. Never will. That's one of the ways you tell. And if I'm walking in the Word where I'm supposed to be and living the life I'm supposed to be living, again, people are going to notice that. People are going to notice that, and they're going to want to be a part of that. Verse 6. If anyone does not abide in me, he is cast out as a branch and is withered, and they gather them and throw them into fire and they're burned. Verse 7 is one of my favorite verses in all the Bible. If you abide in me, and abide means to stay, right? What's that other word King James uses there? Abide, somebody help me. Remain, the other word is remain. King James uses abide, NIV uses remain, I'm sorry. But it says, if you abide or remain in me, and my words abide in you, you will ask what you desire, and it shall be done for you. Wow. Wow. Anything I want. Now, before we get too far out in left field, and see, there again, the false teacher will take this out of context and have people following them. Just send your money to me. You can have anything you want. That's not what it said. It said, if you abide in me and my words abide in you. I learned some. If you get in that position, the word of God is in us and flowing through us, and our desires change a lot. My mama used to say, I call it her third grade theology. She'd say, your want to's will change. What you thought you wanted really doesn't matter anymore. What really matters is serving God. What really matters is glorifying Him. He says, if you abide in me, my words abide in you, you'll ask what you desire, and it shall be done for you. Now watch this, verse 8. By this my Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit, so you will be my disciples. One version says, then you will be my disciples. Then when? When we start bearing fruit. False teacher can't do that. False teacher cannot bear godly fruit. It can't happen. No more than a cat can give birth to a dog. It's not going to happen. Because the Spirit of God is not flowing through that person. Again, just sit around and listen a little bit. It doesn't take, you don't have to know the Bible inside and out. You don't have to have a 4-year Bible college degree to figure that out. Just listen. Say, that don't make no sense, what he said, you know, he or she. They're out there, folks. Galatians 5, 22 through 26 says, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Again, the false teacher can't put that off. You'll see selfishness, bitterness, and so on coming out of theirs. That's the fruit that they put off. But the fruit of the Spirit, and notice in your Bible, that's a capital S on Spirit. What does that mean, you reckon? The Holy Spirit, right? The fruit of the Holy Spirit, and the Holy Spirit lives in every born-again Christian. Amen? Amen. All of us have the same Holy Spirit. I've heard people use the term, I'm full of the Holy Spirit. That's fine. That's okay. I'm not interested in how much of the Holy Spirit you have. What I'm interested in is how much of you does He have? Think about that. How much of me does He have? Am I only going to be a witness when I'm in a chapel in friendly territory, so to speak? And believe me, God will call your bluff. And do it more than a few times. Put me in a place where I really didn't want it. I didn't want to say nothing. It ain't like I'm the minority. It means like I'm the only one there. You know what I'm saying? And if you say something, you just got that, you know, you got that feeling. If you say something for God, here's World War III coming. You've been there, hadn't you? But what do we do? And I'm not going to ask you what you did. It's put up or shut up. Put up or shut up. Hey, we serve the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords. We are guaranteed to live with Him forever. How in the world can you lose? You can't. Can't. You need to read your assurance policy in Psalm 91 also, by the way. The Christian's assurance policy in Psalm 91, 16 verses. Very short, but it's to the point. And unless that's a lie, I don't have to worry about them. Can't be a lie. So I want to produce, I want the fruits of the Spirit in my life, love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and I'm working on the self-control. I'm sure y'all got them all down pat, right? You don't have any problem being gentle around people, long-suffering. You don't have any problem being kind when people are running you down and doing all those things, right?
No.
Nah, no problem. One guy said, the Bible says lay hands on the sick. That guy looks sick to me. So. Wrong interpretation there. Now let's look inward a little bit. We've talked about the false teacher. What about me? What about you? Not whether you're a false teacher or not, necessarily. You see, you're either a true teacher or a false teacher, one or the other. If you're not teaching the word, you're automatically a false teacher. Hello? That sliced it pretty thin, isn't it? Jesus said, if they're not for me, they're against me. He said it the other way around, too, by the way. He said, if they're not against us, they're for us. Where are you? Where am I? All of us have to ask ourselves that question. How many of the fruits of the Spirit is manifested in my life? Any? Think about it. What's the motivation for the things we do? Think about it. If our life isn't bringing glory to God, change it. I've heard people say, when I get control of this, I'm going to serve God. Well, you forget it, Jack. It ain't never going to happen. If you could get control of that, you wouldn't need God. Amen? If I could have cleaned my life up, I wouldn't need God. And it don't matter if you slipped and cussed one time your whole life or was a mass murderer, it's all the same. If you're lost, you're lost. You're either saved or lost. You're going to heaven or hell, one or the other. There's no in between. And it's your choice. Once we're born again and begin to grow in the Word, we'll be able to detect the false teachers when we're around them. Again, the checklist. Is this person using the Bible? Is this person, what is their goal? And that'll come out in conversation. That'll come out. What's their motive? And what kind of fruit are they bearing? What kind of fruit? Is the fruit of the Spirit manifesting itself in their life? I try to be an encouragement to people. I try to, every day I pray, Lord, let me have an encouraging word. People are down and out today. There's stress and trouble and trials everywhere we go. And we live in the same world. It ain't like we're in another subdivision that's not relevant. We're all in this together, folks. The difference is God knew that the recession was coming when he created Adam. He put in his book in Philippians, my God shall supply all your needs. Where are they coming from? Out of his glorious riches by Christ Jesus. And apparently he doesn't read the Wall Street Journal. He doesn't have any clue that things are bad. Because in heaven they're not. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is. We can live there. We can live there. We can live in that glory, if you please, realizing that he's going to take care of it. My children never got gray-headed worrying where I was going to get whatever it was they wanted. You notice that? My grandchildren can come say, most of them call me happy. Happy, I want. Ain't no problem. We're going to make it happen. Why would I do that? One is I love them. Two, they're good children. Right? They deserve it. Then I go to my father with 100 times that size problem. And I say, Father, he say, no problem. Now, again, do I need it? And I've been before him and said, Lord, I really don't need this, but I want it. I want it. If it's all right with you, I want it. And sometimes he says, uh-uh. Amen? Granddaddy even had been known to say no. That's hard to come by, but once in a while. But what are our fruits doing? What are we producing? When you leave here today, or in the morning, whenever, you stop at another truck stop somewhere tomorrow, no doubt. You'll be in a restaurant somewhere tomorrow, here or somewhere. Maybe no Christians around. Would the people around you know that you're saved? Would they know that you're born by your actions? That receiver, that shipper that gives everybody a hard time, and the person just before you made them mad as rip. You been there? You hadn't even said nothing yet, and you're already in trouble. I had a receiver one time meet me before I even got to the door cussing me. I'd picked up a drop load that was already late, but they forgot to tell me that. They forgot to tell me it'd been sitting on the yard 2 days already. And I took it. I said, I'd be there about 3 o'clock tomorrow afternoon. Fine, great. It says deliver any time. Well, I thought, well, hey, this is cool. So I drive up at 2 o'clock thinking I'm an hour early. I thought I was a hero. I got there a little early. Man alive, that guy I'm talking about, he come out meet me in the parking lot. Called me several things besides truck driver. And I said, time out. What's the matter? That load to do here, da da da. I said, I don't know anything about it. I picked it up last night in Atlanta, Georgia. Prior to that, I didn't know it existed. And he went on and on, and I just, you know, let him go. When he got all through, I said, sir, the way I look at it, we had one of two choices. Get it here a little late or scatter it all over the interstate after I went to sleep driving. Oh, he asked me, by the way, where you been? I said, in Charlotte asleep. That was a wrong thing to say. Woo! But I told him, I go to bed when I get sleepy. I don't care if I've been driving 1 hour or 6 hours. If I get sleepy, I'm going to bed. I'm going to take a nap. Because when I wreck the truck, kill myself, they'll just get somebody else put in the truck and keep going. Act like I never existed. What kind of fruit do we produce in a situation like that? If we've been listening to false teachers, we're going to produce bad stuff. If we've been listening to the Word of God, and the Word of God is in us, then we're going to produce the fruits of the Spirit. Tonight, I'm going to close like I always do. I want to ask you to pray a little prayer with me. In this prayer, 1 John 1:9 is what we base it on. It says, if we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. You say, I'm a born-again Christian. I don't need to pray it. That's true. If you're saved, you're saved. But somebody around you may not be. And I don't want to embarrass anybody. I won't have a show of hands. If you want to do that, that's fine. But what I want you to do is pray this prayer from your heart. If you've been listening to the wrong one, if you haven't been listening to the Word of God, if you hadn't been living the Word of God, pray this with me from your heart. You say, well, hey, I'm not interested. I don't want to be a Christian. You can have your religion. Fine. You pray it, it won't do a thing. I promise you, it won't do a thing. Unless you mean it from your heart, it won't do nothing. But I promise you this, if you do mean it from your heart, He'll mold you and change your life and mold you into the person that He wants you to be. I can tell you that for sure. I'm still being molded. I was born again December of 1971, and He is still working on me. I have not reached perfection yet. course, we never will till we get out of here, right?
Amen.
But I'm working on it. At the same time, Paul said, strive towards perfection. So it's like you're not really going to get there, but you need to work at it. In other words, what he's saying is, Joe Hunter, you will always need to improve. Always. Tonight, if there's something on your heart, you confess it to God. By the way, the word repent, we know, means turn around, go the other way. Not only do you repent tonight, then you change your life. You get your life lined up with the Word of God. Get rid of whatever it is in your life. And He'll help you do that. And you got a trucker's prayer line you can call 24 hours a day for prayer and fellowship. All right, I want you to pray this with me. A little different. I want your heads up and eyes open. Learn to pray with your eyes open. Especially if you're going down the road.
I was
going to
say, when you
please. Don't do that. Don't get on your knees in a truck either if you're going down the road. That's not good.
We got autopilot. Just
puts a crazy draw on. Throw it on autopilot. But you know what we need is sincerity of the heart when we pray. Amen? I mean, you could sit at a table somewhere, people listening, and pray the prettiest, I call it King James prayer in the world. It'll sound religious. If it ain't from the heart, it don't mean squat. You certainly don't impress the King of Kings. The only thing about my boss is he watches me 24/7. And worse yet, he even knows what I'm thinking. He knows why I'm thinking what I'm thinking. Before I think it. And that's my cop-out, by the way. I said, well, you knew I was going to do that. And he says he loves me anyway. Amen.
Amen.
But I have to confess it. Not if I mess up, when I mess up. Okay? If that's your case tonight, mean this as we pray, okay? Pray this with me. Heavenly Father, I come to you in the name of Jesus. I ask you, Lord, to forgive my sins. Forgive me where I've done wrong.
Forgive me for bearing bad fruit.
Help me to walk in your word.
Help me to live your word.
Your word is true.
It can't fail.
And I want to base my life on it. Thank you, Jesus. For saving me and setting me free. In Jesus' name.
Amen.